Paul Hazelby's been good enough to join me on the line to have a chat about all things footy. Welcome to you, Paul. Great to have you on.
Good to be with you, Duane. Looking forward to a big year.
It is going to be huge, and the Willie Rioli news is pretty big in the West, as it is over here as well.
Yeah, it certainly is. Been waiting for this for a long time. There's been a lot of uproar from the fans about the time taken to get this result, but Willie found out the news, I understand, a few weeks ago. He's been waiting to see what happens with a potential appeal from ASADA, but he's been given the two-year ban. And look, I was a bit surprised probably with the two-year. I thought it might be a little bit more, but absolutely fantastic news for Willie Rioli, the West Coast Eagles. He's been through a fair bit. I did have a bit to do with him as a youngster, coaching him at South Fremantle, and he made a big blue, and he's paid the price for that, but I think we're all looking forward to seeing him back for the West Coast Eagles, because to be honest, for the last 2 years, I think they've probably missed their opportunity to really contend on the back of not having him playing, because he's such an important player, he's unique, and I always say he's a four-goal player. He kicks two and he sets up two or three a game.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Is he ready to roll? Is he looking forward to getting the boots on and training, you know, by himself before he can actually train with the main group, which is going to be June 20 in anticipation of being able to run out in an actual organised game August 20?
Yeah, I think so. Look, it's been a challenging time for him because he has that uncertainty. And, you know, when you don't have a goal that you're working towards, it can be quite difficult. As a youngster, he had a lot of weight issues, but he's had plenty of support up there, and the West Coast Eagles would have had a program for him to work through. So it looks like he can now get back mid-season, start training, prepare, and hopefully by August 20, the West Coast Eagles are firing and heading towards the finals, and he can play.
What are you looking forward to most out of the clash between the West Coast and Fremantle this Sunday?
I'm looking forward to Fremantle, to be honest, just to see where they're at. They played them last week, and all reports were that, you know, they dominated them through the midfield, and West Coast have had an interrupted pre-season with many of their stars being limited at certain stages. Tim Kelly, Elliot Yeo, Luke Shuey's had some calf complaints, Josh Kennedy, also Nick Natanui with a recent hamstring strain as well. Jake Waterman, add that to that list too. So they're not quite at 100%, but the news and the vibe coming out of Frio is almost as good as I've heard coming out of that club, maybe in its history. There was a period, of course, where they were successful with Ross Lyon there, but, you know, behind the scenes, everything looks positive. They've got some good kids now that are no longer really that young. They're heading towards that 23, 24-year-old bracket. Outstanding last year. They're talking up Brennan Cox as being the best defender they've got, and that's a big call given Luke Ryan was outstanding, beat just about everybody last year and was All-Australian. This is a guy that 2 years ago couldn't get a go in the forward line, shifted to the back line. He's playing well. They've got Pierce, they've got Hamlin coming back. Two really good defenders, but no guarantee for those guys because Justin Longmuir would have a lot of faith in Cox and Ryan and what they did with a smaller defence last year. I don't see him changing that too much. Matt Tabernard's probably the only query. He should play some minutes this week. He's had a quad strain, but without him, it would be more difficult because they do lack, I guess, another goal scorer. And then there's the big question about Nathan Fyfe. Where's he going to play? Is it going to be 50-50, 70-30, 30-70? We'll find out a bit more on the weekend, I reckon.
Where would you play him?
Oh, look, I was a midfielder myself, but I found it sometimes easy to kick goals when you do play as a midfielder because you get a license to go forward and go forward hard, and you don't really have a matchup and you can catch them off guard. I find sometimes with key forwards, when they go start in the forward line, it's not as easy because you get a really good defender, often a taller defender, just as athletic, so you don't hit the scoreboard as much. So I'd probably have him 70-30, but with a real license to attack from any stoppage going in the front half and have a bit of coverage for him back the other way.
Interesting to hear you say that because I've spoken to a few coaches, and I spoke to David Noble, North Melbourne coach, on air a couple of days ago, and he talked about trying to get more goals out of running goals. So getting your midfielders, and some of those midfielders are obviously going to be forwards that are midfield forwards, like your Dustin Martins, Nat Fyfes, Patrick Cripps of the world, but getting more running goals involved this year in a season where you might actually have more fluent play, less stop-start and more opportunity to go with the ball as soon as you get it.
Yeah, it's a good ball, Duane. I think most goals are certainly scored from quick ball movement and an ability for a team to get a plus one ahead of the ball in their own forward line to generate some free play and some overlap and that free man as well. So I think you'll see a real license for all midfielders to just go when the time is right, knowing that hopefully, any player behind the ball starts to set up and gives them that defensive coverage.
Some fear the shot, though. I see them trying to bite off a really difficult pass when we know they're kind of within range. Is that something that's gone out of the game? Once upon a time, we were all hungry.
No, I think it's still there. I think there's the emotion that comes with that. When you charge out of the stoppage, you know, you just want to finish with a goal sometimes because, you know, if you do nail it, the emotional boost it can give your own team. But, you know, they are a little bit more selfless, I think, than what we were, Duane, when we played.
And Fremantle, Justin Lomu is an interesting case because he kind of went old school with this, trying to bed down a good defence last year. I think their numbers defensively, Fremantle were pretty good, low points against. So coaching a good defence structure. And then we hope to accelerate and take the brakes off from there. Is that what he's thinking?
Well, I think it was born last year out of necessity when they had so many injuries to Pierce and Hamling. They had to find some smaller defenders to really stand up. And with that, I think, you know, a new coach coming in wants to embed defence. I reckon he substituted that for ball movement. And often the best form of defence is when you slow up your ball movement because all your players are then behind the ball. But if you do make an error, you're in a really good position to start defending. So that's where that came from. And then as the season unfolded, I think they did have some connection issues in their front half. Listening to Justin talk a lot through the pre-season, that's been the big focus. Forwards, midfield connection, getting the ball a little bit quicker. The rules are going to help that. And, you know, when you look at face value, the one game they have had against the West Coast Eagles, they kicked 16 goals to Wayne. Now, that's a lot of goals for Fremantle when you go back and look at how they played last year. So that's a real positive. And Matt Tavernier didn't play in that one. So hopefully more to come for them.
So what's your break even for the West Coast Eagles? They've always got a high expectation. And last year was a hub interrupted year. Who knows? We might get something similar this year. But if it all goes to plan for the West Coast, they'd be pretty disappointed if they don't make the grand final.
Yeah, look, they are coming towards potentially the end of a pretty good era for the West Coast Eagles. Josh Kennedy has been one of the champions of the comp. He hasn't done too much over the preseason. He's got some calf issues. So I'd suggest this could be his last year. Shannon Hearn, former captain of the NFL. Shuey's obviously getting over 30 now. So this is their last big window, I reckon. And I think top four would certainly be their aim. And I want to hold off on my prediction, really, with West Coast, because I do know when you do have teams that are underdone a little bit, it can hurt you. And they've got probably five or six of their better players that haven't done the whole pre-season.
And the rest of the competition, who do you like?
I love Port Adelaide. I think they're cherry ripe, Port Adelaide, this year. They've brought in a key defender in Alialia. I think if they get Fantasia playing anywhere near his best, they've got another A-grader. They have really good kids. They've got good leadership. They've got a great midfield as well. I like Laddams. I think he's going to be an improved player this year with Scott Lyford. If Charlie Dixon stays fit, I think it could be the year of Port Adelaide.
You got a good eye. They looked good again last week, and albeit against the Crows, who are still trying to bed down their game style under their new coach and have got a young list. But they look pretty good the way they moved the ball again last week. Can't wait to see them against the Adelaide Crows this week. What have you made of the man on the mark rule? Have we overplayed it? Is it actually going to be good and not officiated over the top to the point that we hate it?
Well, I do a radio show over here with Carl Langdon, and we've been butting heads every night because he hates it. He's old school, but I'm actually loving it. I see a lot of change coming from this. You talk to some of the players, you know, the kick in the corridor is opening up, and it's just about, you know, increasing the play by 1 or 2 seconds. And the amount of distance players now can cover in 2 seconds, if you've got 6 or 8 blokes pushing back into that defensive hole, I think this can only be a great thing. I'm expecting some really bad decisions to be made, and they might be right, they might be wrong. Fans are going to be really upset with them in the early part, but I think it's for the greater good of the game, because I think our game for a while there became about the boundary. It became about kicking long, getting a boundary throw in, setting up your structures and becoming an arm wrestle that way. I want to see at the end of this year more inside 50s for both teams, but most importantly, more one-on-one contests. And I think that's going to be the key measurement this year to say that it is working.
And do you see the long kickers for the West Coast being able to launch it with that extra 5 metres into the centre circle from kick-ins occasionally?
Yeah, they do have Shannon Hearn, who will take most of those kicks. They have lost one, though, and that's Lewis Jetta, who's been taking their kick-ins for a long time. So they won't be able to get it over the back. But I do like that rule as well. I think it is going to open it up. Mind you, even the last few years since it did get extended, I feel most teams are just kicking long to packs and congestion. It's not opening up the middle of the corridor as much as the AFL would like. So hopefully with it all pushed back, some clubs might be able to do a short kick to the top of the 50 and then have their halfbacks, their Adam Sards, charging through the corridor to create some exciting footy.
Great to have you, Paul. I really appreciate you picking up our call at short notice. And if you want to hear more of Paul with the great Carl Langdon, make sure you tune in to Sports Day WA. The boys will be on air again tonight. Good stuff, Paul. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Dwayne. Pleasure.
AFL Nation commentator and host of Sports Day WA, Paul Hazelby. 1-300-736-736 if you want to join me. I know Stu in Harndorf, if you're on the line. Richard in Bowen Head, you're on the line. I think we need to take a quick break for some news, but straight back to your calls next.